Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Woes podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and well, after a right hammering from the mighty Man City and a draw against the not-so-mighty Norwich last Sunday, myself, Mick McQuillan, Gary Cotter and Tony Cullen are picking the bones of the two nights and looking forward to what we hope to see in the next few weeks ahead of next season. And we even got a little mention about the Liverpool up game coming up on Sunday.
Gary, with us, yeah?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Did you see the that article in the Daily Mail today? Someone sent it to me.
But the tour?
The tournament in America, yeah?
Yeah.
I said that last night.
Did you? On
Irish Walls, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, he put it up, yeah. Fairly quickly. Was it a Premier League or was it Castor or what was the, who was organising it?
No, it was the crowd over the far side. It was Newcastle was supposed to be in it. Newcastle ourselves.
That's why. I thought Villarreal and Valencia or something, wasn't it?
I know there's definitely one of the Spaniards.
Yeah.
Maybe two Spaniards.
No, I assume.
Whoever was putting it up pulled out of it.
Yeah, because I suppose the last over in China, it was Newcastle and ourselves as well, wasn't it? Man City and. I don't know where the tour team was, but it's a bit, I suppose.
Or you sent it on Facebook, Mick, did you?
No, I sent it on Irish Wolves. Was it Irish Wolves, I think?
I know.
I sent it Facebook first of all, and then I sent it on Irish Wolves.
Yeah.
But it's on it. It was the Facebook thing, which I don't can't get into Facebook anymore. I don't bother. I saw that. Yeah, whatever will happen now, anyway.
They might come over.
Were you interested in going if it was happening?
I never paid any attention to it. It's in Ohio is where they were holding it anyway.
Yeah, Ohio so I just, I don't think it would have gone anyway. Were you interested, Gar, or were you thinking about it?
Yeah, I was gonna go, I'd say, yeah.
Yeah.
When is it, Babs?
What?
Is it confirmed yet?
No, it's cancelled.
It's been cancelled, yeah.
It's cancelled, yeah.
Yeah, but not a lot we can
The Daily Mail article seemed to think that Wolves would still go, but Newcastle was still undecided.
Well, Newcastle have other things. They're going over to the Emirates, I think. Over to where their gang is from.
Yeah. Good. That'd be fun. You wouldn't get on over there, Mick. You know, you could easily lose the head over there, Mick.
Where?
And probably both hands as well, and the fucking tongue would probably go as well.
It wouldn't have fucking suit us anyway, no drinking.
I'm sure you'd find a way. We could get the old duty free, Mick.
You bollocks. You wouldn't come back with your fucking Lee roadies together.
I've seen some of the stuff.
They made a nice job of your man, did Kashaki, so I wouldn't fancy that.
But I've seen the stuff, some of the stuff you drink, so I'm surprised you have any left.
I know.
Anyway, but it's hard to believe it. It was this time last week we were heading to, we were awake and we were heading down to the Leaping Wolf for a pint before the City game. It only feels like it was months ago. But for the change anyway, we had a fairly easy trip over. With the airport was fine, was it?
Clean through.
So of course, we a nice innocent lunch in Witherspoons, and then all the plans blown out of the water when Jaffa arrived in, wasn't it?
Well, the way I look at it was, they talk about long combo, but that was a long dinner.
It was quite a, because it was 4 o'clock nearly by the time we left Spoons then. That wasn't anywhere near the plan, so we got the hotel then, and the four points achieved, I think, was when we went to the hotel, checked in, that it didn't brought an induced coma, so had a good little sleep, but 5:30 then down to the Leaping Wolf, had a couple of points down there, so I suppose we'll have a short chat about the game itself. What did you think of the lineup? If you remember back for the lineup for Wednesday night, you kind of bit of an open lineup, yeah.
Well, I remember when we spoke last week, we were saying how would it go like, and I was saying it would be hard to keep City to nil. And but I thought the way it lined up, and now that's, if you, in a sense, not counting all the individuals, it was strange in that Chiquinho started right back, didn't he? And Johnny was right centre back.
Yeah.
I presume that was needs most situation. So all in all, with Dendonker, I thought it was kind of as you'd expect, a bit like, okay, certain amount of different personnel at the Etihad when Kilman was there. But yeah, I thought it was probably as appropriate as anything on the night, you know, starting out. The question was then, was he going to do the same as the Etihad, which was try and keep it extremely tight, you know? But yeah. Obviously, even the first goal, that was out the window then. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I suppose even when we got the equaliser, they got the second down fairly quickly, so there wasn't even time for us to kind of tighten up after we equalised, I think. And it seemed to kind of, like, it was like a snowball effect, I think. When we got the equaliser, and it seemed to be everyone said, right, you know, let's go for a ding-dong game. And but, I mean, I suppose we'll all agree that it was De Bruyne's show, and he didn't seem to put much effort in, yet every time he touched the ball, it seemed to end up in the back of the net.
I thought Cody in particular was extremely naive for the first two.
Yeah.
He kind of went AWOL following Foden.
Yeah.
And, you know, left a gap behind him, and they were slotting it in then to De Bruyne. I thought that was unlike Cody type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's very rarely ahead of the ball, I would say, and you know, 10 yards outside the box type of thing.
Yeah.
So, and because it was brilliant to get back to 1-1 after going 1 down.
Yeah.
But then to go 2-1 down, you always felt it was going to be a struggle then, because we can only climb the mountain once, I think.
Yeah, and I think kind of, you know, in any other match, if it was a bit, and I suppose at the time it was closer, but I mean, the two penalty incidents on our side didn't seem to get any mention at all. Like, it doesn't come up on the screen if VAR was looking at them, and I thought, definitely the one in the second half and possibly even the one in the first half, I thought they were blatant penalties. You know, nothing seemed to, it didn't seem to take much time to decide on them. Mick, what was your thoughts on those?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I lost confidence with this man a while ago, so it didn't surprise me that we were taken to the cleaners. Gary said there about, what do you call it, Cody and that. The lads don't know what's needed of them anymore.
Mm.
There's no game plan. And he's setting us up that it was like sitting ducks. And it's very easy for a side like City to pull you apart when you leave yourself, you leave the team wide open. And, you know, he's persisting with this fellow Wang up front. We're starting with ten men at the max.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, to me, yes, it was Kevin De Bruyne, but it was, as you said, Tony, there, he didn't have to do a lot, but he is a fantastic player. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I do take the thing, I've said it all along, City do give up chances, the same as Liverpool. And we did have chances. And I definitely, there was the only, I didn't look at the whole thing back, but definitely I thought that foul, that on Chiquinho definitely was a penalty.
Yeah.
And that, but whether we had got it or not, I still would have hammered us. But let's be realistic.
Yeah.
That could have been easy 9 or 10 goals. And that I've never seen us pulled apart like that. And that has to go down to management. They don't know what the lad. Now, the word coming out was there was a big bust up with the senior players, and that's, to me, obviously has happened. And you know, I looked again what happened on Sunday, what was going on, and you know, I think the parade told a lot after the match. There was a lot to be learned from watching that parade, what was going on there, and even what was going on during the match in the dugout, and. I honestly can't see this man being there next year. And I'll be honest with you, if he is there next year, I won't be there, because you're just wasting your time. This side would be heading for relegation. There's no doubt about it. Because he hasn't got a clue. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
He hasn't got a clue, in my opinion.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, Mick, the choices are, if he's there next year, he brings in new players. I assume he'll be given that. No, but that's what will happen. There's two options. You know, he's kept in the job. He's given the money during the summer to bring in his own players and to mould the team for next season. Or he gets sacked and somebody new comes in. Will they get money to bring in players? Or will they be told? I mean, are we talking about realistically? I know there wasn't a lot to talk about in either match with City and Norwich. But like, are we talking about money being the be all and end all of it? I mean, this man has been worked. So are we saying that, okay, Bruno can't work with these players, so Bruno's the problem. We get rid of Bruno. We bring in another manager, hoping he'll get on with the players. You know, I mean, to me, that's the Fosun answer.
Tony,
if they sack him, well then, it's the players are running the show.
No.
Because at the end of the day...
Let me finish. No, listen. The man hasn't a clue. He hasn't a clue. The players don't know what they should be doing. We've seen it at the end. They were trying to make a substitution 2 weeks ago. It was a sham. Now, it's not... The players that we have at the minute, they were good enough to finish in the top four. There's no doubt about that in my mind.
But they didn't make...
The problem was we had a weak manager. I've been saying this for months. There's big problems here. And I've been shot down at every stage. Now, we have, I think, lost about 8 or 9 matches in the under 12 in the last 10, 12. That's relegation material. And don't tell me that what we're looking at, even again on Sunday against Norwich, that it looks like he is in the position he's going to change. And forget it. What do you call it? Are they going to give money to bring in his own man? He can't bring his own man in.
No, we don't know. I mean, Mickey, more than two players. I'm sure he has.
We do know. That's a lie. We do know.
It's not a lie.
It is a lie.
You're talking about two players.
The three players he went for.
Two.
The three players he wanted to bring in. No, the three. Three,
yeah, okay.
He wanted to bring in. None of them came in. I would come in with him. And he was the one pulled the plug on him, not Fosun. He went for Wang then, what's called it, and for they bought, and when he wanted to buy him, they paid the money for him.
Yeah. So but I mean, he's Wang, Chiquinho. He brought Chiquinho in, didn't he?
Well, Chiquinho came in to, what you call it, he was being watched for the last 2 years, Chiquinho.
Yeah, but he brought him in.
He came in.
Yeah.
But like, what I'm saying to you is he was to come in, the same as what you call it, even after Christmas, he didn't even know what players we had.
How do you mean?
And he said that. He never knew we had Gomez that was up on tape. He didn't know the playing staff he had. No, that 5-6 months into management, and you don't know what players is on the books of old. Gomez, he never knew. He said he didn't know nothing about him.
Did he mean know nothing about him as he'd never seen him playing? Or that he didn't know anything about him?
He wasn't Zurich. They're part of Wolves theatre club, Zurich.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I'm saying to you is, if a new manager goes in there, he wants to see what players are there and the whole tobacco, who do you have or whatever.
Mick, any chance of getting a word in there?
Yeah, Gary, I was just going to ask you to say something. Yeah.
No, like, you can't have it every way, Mick, right? Like, all along, when he didn't play then Dunker and he didn't play five in the middle, that was the problem. And then when he did that against City, it's the manager that's the problem. I mean, don't worry.
City, he had four at the back, Gary.
I didn't interrupt you, right? So I'm entitled to say what I want to. So I'm saying that, you know, you can't have him every way. You know, he either is the problem or he's not. Like I had a chat with a few people, and like my own view is I would definitely give him another year and let him do his own thing for a year. That's my view. I spoke to a couple of people, the guys next to me, and then, do you know Coxie? We see him
in the Western
regularly at games.
Yeah.
You know, the chap with the...
The hair, yeah.
He was straight up. He was like you, Mick. He should be gone straight away. He was saying that, you know, he should be gone now or very shortly, right? The other people were saying, look, how much do we really know about him having been, you know, with a panel that he can play his favourite 4-4-2 or 4-3-3 or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I personally, I would be inclined to give him, I'd like to see him get a free run and get who he wants and give him a year. Now, it's either that or you do dispense with him now, because what we don't want is halfway through a year, you know. Some people have been saying, oh, he'll be gone by Christmas. That's not much good. He's either goes now or give him a year. It would be my view on it, like, you know, because when McCarthy went that time, McCarthy should have been gone long before that. But they waited until we got hammered at home to Albion. Then he went.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't good for a good while after that.
But
like,
Would you think back then, Gary, too, like, I mean, like at that with McCarthy, like, I mean, everyone knew after the Liverpool game, when Morgan had stormed into the dressing room and had a go and McCarthy had a row with him. Like, everyone knew at that stage that he was a dead man walking. And, you know, at the time, you remember talk was that, you know, Morgan didn't sack him before the end of January so that he wouldn't, whoever came in, or if a new manager came in, he wouldn't be able to buy players. That was the way thinking, that there wasn't going to be any money going. You know, and I mean, you know, we know what went on then. Like, I mean, I don't know whether any of you think it, but there doesn't seem to be any, like, there's a lot of messages coming from fans from a couple of players that there's a dispute, and you know, and there's a, like Johnny, I saw Johnny last Sunday, I thought it was a disgraceful performance. The guy never looked like he even wanted to be on the pitch, so we weren't getting anything from that side of the pitch. I've never seen a player with the attitude that I could see from him in a long time. But like, we have, like, is it the players, one or two players are starting the fire? You know, as Gary said,
there are very few
fans complaining. You know, I mean, the owners haven't said a word. You know, unlike Morgan storming into the dressing room.
They don't have to say a word, Tony. Now, can I come in on some of the things you said there? Okay, on a few of the things you come in there, like what to call it, the fan. I told you, I watch what goes on in games. I go with my eyes wide open. I see what happens, even and what I seen after the game on Sunday told a lot to me. You know what I mean? The man never even came out to walk around with the players on the parade. He was back inside. What to call it? A number of players weren't talking to him. Then I seen Jimenez, which I thought was quite unusual. That he sent one of the lads that get bits of stuff. Then they brought out three sets of boots, and he went to three different sides of the pitch and he handed the boot. That says to me he's gone.
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised when I seen it in the paper today that it looks like Jimenez is on the way out.
Hmm.
Okay, it's going out.
Jesus, Mick, where are we going to get our goals from?
Now, come here. Anyway, listen. Let you go on what you were saying there. But that was one. I seen Johnny. They were all out together. I seen Nevis there, and he wasn't tears. But he's gone as well.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of that team is gone. Yeah. And a lot there has been a major bust up with the senior players, not only senior players. You see, what happens is when he had a go at that young fella a couple of months ago,
yeah,
I said I lost all respect to the man there. Now it was okay. Some people said, "Oh, these young fellas had to put in the play." The problem is they are young fellas, but you know what? They're teammates of the senior players, and they don't like it either. Now he was playing assistant, and he was playing player. One or two players, especially Wang, he should not have been in there. And a very telling thing on Sunday was that after a couple of weeks, he puts on Silva. The big roar from the crowd when Silva came on. The crowd know what he's up to.
Yeah. But Mick, I'll agree with you, because I've been saying it myself for at least a month or 6 weeks that Wang hasn't proved himself in any games in the last couple of months or more. But, the row that people keep mentioning, it was supposed to be Raul and Johnny and Bruno on a training pitch and there was words exchanged or whatever. But like, you know, I mean, the future of the club, unfortunately at this stage, isn't Jimenez and Johnny after his two injuries, you know, to having this cruciate twice. I mean, his future probably isn't brilliant either. I mean, the senior players, I don't know, I think Cody seems to be behind the manager. I mean, I think people were saying with the incident with Hoover when he went down injured and all that, Cody had a go at him. This is what we're seeing on the pitch.
No, it's not what you see. I'm telling you what I see, Tony. I'm telling you what I see. Okay? And that's where I make my opinions on. Not what somebody else sees or somebody else says.
When did you see a bust up then?
I have been fairly much on the button with what's going on and what was happening and what was liable to happen. I've been fairly much on the button. I watched what's going on, and I told you the day that he brought on Neto, when he dropped Johnny off, Johnny was having a couple of great games. He took Johnny off, he dropped Johnny for that game, and he brought Nevins in. And okay, there was no problem with that. But the problem happened at half time when he brought Neto, when he's taken off, Nevis, and he pushed Neto on before Johnny. That's when Johnny blew a gasket. And he was quite entitled to blow a gas.
Well, I don't think he is, Mick.
Because
he's a player.
If you're playing out of your skin,
he's a player.
You're getting your game.
He's a player, Mick.
Huh? He is a player, yeah.
Hmm.
But the manager hasn't a fucking clue.
Well, he makes the decisions. You know, I mean, but Mick, what do you see then? What do you see is the future? As I say at the stair a few minutes ago,
on Sunday, you either sack
the manager, keep the players. We could be very well getting rid of Jimenez, maybe Johnny or a couple of more players. Like, what do you see then as the solution to the manager?
The manager has to go. The problems for this season, it's down to management, nothing else. Now, other players will move on. As I said, Nevis will move. And I understand that because the club's ambition are not matching theirs. And I said that when he came in, first of all, and people, how long will we have these players? And I said, as long as we have the same ambition as the players, they'll stay. And like the thing is, it's quite obvious now that he's nearly 26. He's looking at his mate who went to Liverpool. He's got two league medal, winners medals in it. He's also got at least a runners-up in the Premier League, and he's got a game coming up in the Champions League. Neves is looking at it. It's not about money, but he'll move on. And there'll be probably one or two others will move on. But there's a huge nucleus of fucking young players there that should be tapped into. And this man has made it quite clear on many occasions he doesn't want to deal with young players.
Well, I think that's
what Fosun. He's not the fixture for Fosun. Fosun wants to be forward with what they're doing. He is not the man for the job.
Well, Mick, they put him into the job. That's my point is they put him into the job. And like it or not, I mean, we have an under 23s, we have under 18s, you know. The future is young players, and I mean we've dozens of young players. So I mean, do you think they've employed Bruno on the basis that he doesn't like young players? You must have scrapped the academy.
No, they employed him because he was cheap, and I said that when they employed him because I thought it was disgraceful that they let Nuno go because Nuno wanted a better quality player by the end to spend more money, and they wanted to cut. And I said it at the time.
He is. I understand. He is one of the lowest paid managers, I think, isn't he?
He is. He's only on $1.5 million.
I think we've gathered what your opinion is, right, about the manager. So we probably don't really need to, you know, hear.
Yeah.
You know, we know what you mean, you think, but what's the way forward? Like, okay, we assume you want him gone, but what do we do now?
Yeah.
But they have their right hand man there. Mendes. They're going to have to look for the manager. Now, there was rumour today, but I can't believe that unless they were going to break open the bank to Lopetez, he came back, it's coming to the end of the time with Seville, and he could go in. That was the fella they tried to get.
Lopetegui? Yeah.
Lopetegui, yeah. And look, but if he comes in, like, he's not going to come in cheap.
I tell you, Mick, I tell you one thing, I can't wait to hear the song they fucking make up for him.
Yeah, but the thing is,
there's only one Lopetegui, is it?
The reason he would be an outstanding bet for it is that he spent most of his time working with the Spanish younger players in Spain, and he has done quite well.
Is this the guy that was the manager of Spain and he was talking to Real Madrid behind their back and got sacked?
Sacked 2 days before the World Cup or something, yeah.
On the eve of the World Cup. So
that's the same. He was the fellow we were supposed to have in the beginning, and the week he held on, and then remember they weren't sure whether they were going to do the deal or not.
Yeah.
And he went that fella. But I just seen that today, that was one that shot up there. And but it was Real Madrid about 5 or 6 weeks back. That they had the Roy and another lad. There was two other clubs after this other fella.
Yeah.
And but they don't know who are they going to get? They said they have to be able to work with younger players. Or if not, then Fosun would have to change everything and start throwing money at them. They're not that sort of people.
Yeah. Well, Tony, whatever you think. But I think it's something that Fosun seemed to overlook. That when Nuno was there, Nuno was mutual agreement, whatever they call it, but that they didn't have a kind of succession plan there, that when he goes, we'll have somebody else, which you'd think a company like them would have in business life. But like, you know, like as you say, Bruno, like going back to Nuno's appointment, I mean, Nuno was he the third choice in the end? It was Lopetegui. Well, they brought in, what's his name, lest we forget, the goalkeeper. What's his name?
Zenga.
You know, but like, you know, like Nuno's was there, he built the club back up. And but like, you know, Bruno seems to have been the only choice they had, the only person they were looking at. He's in. If he's not working, you know, so there's names been thrown around.
I didn't see much of him when he was manager in Benfica, wasn't it? But they obviously looked at his style play. And it was much more attacking than Nuno style, and that's probably what they looked at.
Yeah.
But Fosun's modus operandi is to bring in young players who are hungry, skillful, and to develop them and sell them on at a profit. That's their. That's what they've done literally throughout. Okay, there's the odd exception to that. All fellas that are sitting on the bench, like Jimenez was, and developing them or giving them a chance. So that's their model. So I can't see them wanting to splash a load of cash either on a manager or on a load of players.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether there was a ruction between the manager and some of the players, because obviously he clearly wants to play four at the back, and whether you agree that's a better system or not is another matter. But he clearly wants to play that system, and you know, apart from the odd half a match here and there, he pretty much hasn't.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you think taking Cody off was there something other than, you know, that he'd been poor against City and poor in the first half against Norwich, or was there something else to it?
It's hard to know.
He took Cody off and still stuck with five, you know, three at the back, like.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was playing far along the back there at Goofy for a good while on Sunday. But I don't know. I don't know what I was watching during the game, and it was funny what was happening. He went back into the dugout a few times and was in sitting at the back. And when he done that, Tony Roberts came out for a while.
Yeah.
And then when the other fella came out, Tony Roberts went back, and I said, "What the fuck are he at? You know, what are he up to?" And I just couldn't work out what they were doing. I know he went back in there under, and he was sitting with his other analysts, as they call it, and they were looking at something on the laptop monitor that he had there. No, he said, these things that they have in the back, but they were in there, and he was writing things down. With managers, you don't do them things. That's your question. I don't think he knew. He just wanted to give someone else a run.
I think so. There was
a
remarkable difference between the second half performance and the first half. Like, you know, there was an absolute effort to try and to get back in the game, whereas the first half was really dismal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, what brought that on? I thought Pedence, it's a pity actually, when he came on, he was decent, but he didn't get half enough ball type of thing, really.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he wasn't fed the ball, and Silva was good as well. You know, he puts himself about like as usual. But,
I actually thought watching Pudence that he was all over. He was all over their half. I think he was more like going looking for the ball rather than people giving it to him. You know, like he was on the left wing, centre. He was right wing. He was going around. I thought Chiquinho seemed to be under orders not to go past the player, as several people we were talking about it during, like he didn't beat a man when he came on. You know, he got one cross in.
And he was the total opposite against City.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He was rampant. He was rampant against City, like.
Yeah, so it's hard to
and
know.
Chelsea.
But
the manager wasn't there against City, was he?
No.
He wasn't. Chelsea. No. He wasn't there against Chelsea either.
To me on Sunday. To me on Sunday, you know, you were saying about Paul Dance and that. And that's what I go back to what I was saying earlier on. They don't know what they should be doing. And there's no shape or make to what they're up to.
No, well, I mean, with Pedence, making fairness, Pedence, that's what Pedence does. Pedence drifts around the pitch, picks up bits and pieces.
But Dez come on, if he can get the ball. He was going looking. It wasn't that. There was no shape to us. Like, we should have been 3-2.5 to win.
Yeah, well, we could have been, yeah.
Yeah, but that's a fact. That's a fact, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, Mick, I suppose Norwich had nothing to lose at this stage. And but, I mean, it was a very flat, from our point of view, it was a very flat game. And I know we've been at every last game of the season for a few years now, and they're never anything. But I suppose we talk about the last game that's coming up on Sunday against Liverpool. I suppose the way things are, it looks like it's not going to be the mouth-watering, nail-biting game that we all thought it would be, unless Villa are going to do some magic at Man City.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got to say, like, the only thing that can make it really interesting is City have got to lose. Like, if City lost, and just say we were holding them to a draw, then the goal difference comes in, doesn't it? But, I mean, I think you can see what Liverpool are up to. I reckon they're just going to assume something could happen, Villa could win, and they're going to try and beat us by fucking 7 or 8.
Well, you see, we were talking about this, Gary, and the goal difference actually doesn't, because with a point between them, Liverpool have to win. Because if City lose and they draw, then it's City's. But if Liverpool win, then they can't finish level.
Yeah.
So the goal difference won't matter really. So Liverpool will be, you know, I'm not saying if they go a goal up early and they get a second, they won't stop. But they have a Champions League final coming up the following week as well, so they're not going to be pushing the goal. And I mean, if you saw the team they put out last night, I thought it was a bit strange. But did any of you watch it last night, Liverpool?
Yeah, listen, we've conceded nine goals at home in the last three games. And the chances are going to, we could ship a big hiding here on Sunday.
Yeah, but we'll all be happy if we don't.
I'd agree with that. We could.
All right, you're still going, Mick, yeah?
I don't know. Yeah, of course.
I know, yeah.
Just to see the face of Liverpool lads with City winning.
That's worth it, yeah. And, buy a few programmes as well, Mick. Give them out to your Liverpool mates. Anyway, we'll be there Sunday and hopefully we'll have something to shout about. Well, you'll have something to shout about, Mick, anyway, probably.
What flight are you on, Tony, sonny?
I'm Birmingham. I'm getting the train up. So I think it's 7:15 or something. And
you're there. So you'll be up in Manchester, what time?
No, I'll be I'm in Liverpool at 11:15.
Right.
So what time are you in, Mick?
I'm on the 10:30 hour Dublin.
Yeah,
in Manchester.
To Manchester. Yeah.
So it'll be close to 1 o'clock again. I'll be there. I'd say.
Yeah, Gary. What?
I'm flying Cork to Manchester on Saturday night, and I'm going to stay Manchester City Centre and go up early Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And I'm flying back Manchester Cork on Sunday night.
All right.
What time is that, Gary? Yet?
Manchester Cork's about something like 10 PM, Mick.
Yeah, we're all at the same time, more or less. Yeah.
10 o'clock for us back to Dublin from Manchester,
and we'll have
that's good because we can head back together then.
Get the train. Get the train back. We'll probably be heading fairly sharpish afterwards anyway. I'd say.
Well,
oh Lord, we'll have a sorrow drowning couple of points and then off we'll go. But we're all looking great. Right, lads. Tony, Gary, Nick, great talk to you.
Enjoy the game on Sunday.
See you on Sunday. The holidays on Monday anyway. If the worst comes to the worst, you know.
Off to Bulgaria.
Yes. All right. Looking for a few players. I think they have a couple of good managers out there, Mick. I'll try and pick one up for you, right? I got to pick a manager up for you, right? I'll one that likes good young players, but that could be taken different way. Anyway, go on. We'll see you. We'll see you, right? Good luck.
Take care.
Bye.
All right. Thanks.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.